So this week, I saw the movie, The Secret Life of Pets 2. So here's the trailer. Okay, so we're going to show that trailer in just a minute, but let me tell you why we do this series or what it's about. It's about taking a movie that is either in the theaters now or is within the last year, and totally secular movie, and then drawing something out of that we can tie to scripture. So it's a little bit of a challenge component to it, is that how are you going to go see a movie and tie it to scripture? And when I first decided to go see The Secret Life of Pets, I thought, I'll just preach on Noah's Ark. Of course, no big deal. But as I was sitting there in the movie, God showed me some other things that he wanted to tell me and to share with you. Are we ready? Okay, so here's the trailer. Do you want to join me? That is what Rooster says to Max. For some reason, Rooster was my favorite character. It was something to do with his voice or something, I guess. Oh, ha ha. Some of you know me enough to realize why Rooster might be my favorite character. I kind of like Harrison Ford just a little bit. Maybe enough to name my dog after him even. So the dog that was wearing the cone of shame in the film is named Max, and some of you might know Max from The Secret Life of Pets. And so he's in The Secret Life of Pets too. And Max worries. He is scared of a lot of things. He is scared of just about everything. Well, Max meets the big dog Rooster on a family vacation at the farm. And he becomes a bit of a follower of Rooster, kind of a student of Rooster. He realizes that people listen to Rooster. Well, at least the animals listen to Rooster. That when Rooster speaks, there's a great deal of wisdom, and that there's also a lot of calm, and that Rooster seems to know how to handle situations. Rooster pours that wisdom and experiences and advice and one-liners into Max. So there's one day on the farm where Max gets discombobulated, and he ends up knocking over the fence to the sheep pen. So imagine what happens if the sheep pen has a fence knocked down. What do the sheep do? The sheep run out of the pen. And what does Max do? Max panics. Oh my gosh, the sheep are out. What are we going to do? I don't want anybody to find out that this is happening. Come on, sheep, 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 get back. Well, the sheep aren't going to listen to Max. And then Rooster shows up. And Rooster tells the sheep, go back to your pen. Guess what? The sheep go back to their pen. But then, where's Cotton? Where's Cotton? Where's the baby sheep named Cotton? And someone says Cotton has gone to the woods. And so Rooster says to Max, we're going to go get him. Just you and me. Well, I thought, this is easy. This sermon gets tied into the parable of the lost sheep, right? Boy, we just go right there, no problem. I've got this figured out. Throw Noah's Ark out the window. And we're going to go with the parable of the lost sheep. So the parable of the lost sheep is found in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke. And basically what it tells us is that there's 100 sheep in a flock. And the Bible doesn't say this, but commentaries do, that 100 sheep was kind of the median size of a flock that most shepherds could take care of in Jesus' day. There would be a head shepherd, and he would have some helpers, some assistant shepherds, some leadership shepherds, some facilitator shepherds, some usher shepherds. There would be other shepherds that would help with this flock. Well, what we read in the Bible is that one of these sheep goes astray and gets lost. And the shepherd leaves the flock and goes after that lost sheep. Now, what I've always thought about this parable is that I'm the lost sheep and that Jesus cares enough to go after me. And that the message in that is Jesus cares about everyone. He will leave the 99 for the one. And it wasn't too many months ago I was having a discussion with someone who was kind of mad because they didn't view it that way. They always viewed it as they were part of the 99 and that maybe Jesus didn't care enough about them because he left them behind to get the one. Why is that one so important? Well, I think it goes both ways. We are the one that Jesus sought after, and we are part of the 99. But he doesn't leave us alone. He leaves us with other people to watch over us. And God never leaves us. It's not like there's just God in one place and he can't be anywhere else, right? God is everywhere. So that's how I've always interpreted this particular parable. Here's how the scene of finding the lost sheep is played out in the movie. So Max is really scared, and Rooster says the first step of not being afraid is acting like you're not afraid, sort of fake it till you make it. And that's the scene that we saw in the trailer where he's like, are you scared? And Max is like, yes, no, I'm not scared at all. And then he's like, are you scared? And he's like, no, I'm not scared. And that comes with some practice and experience. It's sort of like the choice is ours. Our attitude becomes our choice. Forgiving others becomes our choice. And we realize that as we make these choices, our emotions or our feelings catch up with it. So fake it till you make it, Max. Let's go. Let's go find this lost sheep. And if you noticed in the trailer that we watched, there was a point where little Max, and he's also known as LD by his friends. That's his nickname for little dog, by the way, in case I refer to him as LD. I don't know. So he's going down a trail on what looked like kind of a cliffside. So they're going through the woods, Rooster and Max. And they get to the edge of a ravine, and there's the lost sheep down on the side of the ravine in a tree that's growing perpendicular to the side of the sheer cliff. And Max, of course, is assuming that Rooster is going to go down and get that sheep. Wouldn't you expect that? Especially if we think Rooster could be kind of like Jesus. He's got authority there on the farm. The sheep listen to him. He's got wisdom. He's pouring into someone like Max. And so Max is like, well, you're going down, right, Rooster? And Rooster's like, I can't go down there. I'm way too big. You're going down. And so Max is like, oh, no. So Max goes down, and he ends up at the tree, and so he stands back against, you know, the wall of the cliff going, okay, sheep, I'm here, come on. And the sheep says, my foot is stuck. I can't move. So Max is like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I think, I don't remember exactly, but I think Rooster's kind of like, you're going to go get that sheep. That sheep is lost. We're on a mission here. There's a purpose here. This sheep got out of the pen, and I'm going to go get it, and we're bringing it back, but you're coming with me. So Max goes out on that tree. He gets that foot unstuck. The tree starts to break. Rooster reaches down and grabs the sheep and pulls him up to safety, and Rooster reaches down and grabs Max and pulls him up to safety. So this caused me to have a bit of a light bulb moment. I realized that in that parable of the lost sheep, we always see Jesus going and getting that lost sheep. But, you know, Jesus never told us, you let me take everything myself. I'm going to go and take care of stuff. You guys just hang out with your flock and sit around and munch. Jesus actually invited us to go along with him. And right before he told the parable, what we read about is him facing the Pharisees, which were the law keepers without grace, because they were saying, you're hanging out with sinners. You're going after people who aren't like us. And then these people are like coming in and kind of crowding us, and we're not comfortable with them. And so Jesus told the story of, hey, I go after the lost sheep. But does he do that all by himself? He took Max with him. Max became a student. Max became a disciple. Max became a follower of him. So how does this speak to us? Well, Jesus shows us the way to the Father, and he does the Father's work. So we read in John 5:19, where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So Jesus came into our world as a man to accomplish the Father's will. Are we in agreement with that? And the Father's will was to bring all to know him. To go after all the lost sheep. Every one of us sitting in here at one point of our life was a lost sheep. And also to continue bringing the lost sheep. We do the same works as Jesus. And this is described in John 14:12, where it says, I tell you the truth. So this is the second time that Jesus tells us the truth in the book of John. There's probably more. But these two verses, I tell you the truth. Isn't that great that we can trust Jesus' word is truth? Amen? Amen. Jesus' word is truth. And what he tells us, we can count on. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. The same works I have done. So in the parable of the lost sheep, when Jesus is saying the shepherd goes after the sheep, he's meaning that he is the good shepherd. He in fact says in the Bible, I am the good shepherd. So when he says, I go after the lost sheep, he is saying in this verse, you're going to do the same work I'm doing. It's going to be you and I, you and me. We're going to do this together. You're going to do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, that can be confusing. How can anybody be greater than Jesus? Have you ever stumbled upon a verse and just sort of been like, I'm in it on the first part. That second part is weird, and I don't really get it. In this case, Jesus isn't saying, hey, just wait because you're going to be doing way more stuff than I did. You're going to be blowing people's minds. Well, we are going to be, but that's because we're going to be able to heal. We're going to be able to deliver people. We're going to be able to tell the truth and share the good news and point people to the way of God. We're going to be able to live lives that are electrifying because we're filled by the Holy Spirit. We're going to be able to bring light into the world because Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus did it with 12 people for a while, and he did it with 72 people for a while. But then, because he went to be with the Father, he sent his Holy Spirit. And as soon as that Holy Spirit came, there were thousands of people who were following Jesus. And that's how the work is greater. It doesn't mean better than. It means larger than, more expansive than. We get to do the work of Jesus Christ by reaching the world and going with him to find the lost sheep. Are you scared? Maybe a little. Are you scared? No. Because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father is with us when we are doing the same works as Jesus Christ. And we are guided to opportunities. It tells us in Colossians, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Ooh, we're going to be given opportunities. Now, maybe that doesn't mean that we don't have to look for opportunities, because we can go through life really with blinders on, not seeing the opportunities. So I think it's good to pray that God show us the opportunities, but we're not out on our own. Rooster knew that that little baby sheep named Cotton was lost. And he said, we're going to go find that. Max didn't say, I'm going, bye, I'm going to look for the lost sheep. No, he went because Rooster told him, you come with me. There were other animals on the farm. You saw that turkey, right, in the trailer. He could have been like, hey, turkey, you're coming with me. But he didn't. He said, Max, you're the one. This is your opportunity. So we are to live wisely among those who are not believers, those lost sheep, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. Stop for a moment and think back over the conversations you have had this last week. Think about the texts you've sent to people. Think about the Facebook messages you've sent. Think about the Facebook posts you've done. Think about the face-to-face conversations you've had at work or school or the grocery store or with your neighbors when you're out doing yard work. Have they been gracious and attractive? Today I was sitting out on my deck this morning having coffee and actually looking over the sermon I had written. And one of my neighbors, our four yards merge at a corner, and one of them was out mowing the lawn. And I suddenly heard him angrily yell, stop! And I don't know what was going on in his yard. I don't know if he was yelling at his lawnmower. I kind of hope that's what it was. Or maybe it was a dog, which is kind of like, well, I just hope it wasn't a person. I really, really do. But it made me aware that even what I do in my backyard, when I'm yelling at my dogs to come in, when I'm having conversations with friends who are over or guests who are over or my pest control guy who comes out every 3 months, it makes me realize that it's not just in controlled situations that we have to be aware of our conversation. That it says among all who are not believers. That's everywhere, guys. That's everywhere in this world. That our conversation is to be gracious and attractive. And when we think it's only going to be those times I really have things under control, I'm purposely going to smile at the clerk who's checking out my groceries and look at the name tag and use their name, but then I'm going to get out in the parking lot and somebody left their cart next to my car and they could have dented it, and I'm going to throw a little fit and I'm going to slam it back into the cart return and say, who's the dummy that can't put the cart in the return? That dummy might be two cars away. And they might be able to overhear that conversation. And that might be a non-believer. or even a believer who's having a tough time, who's the lost sheep right now, that Jesus is actually giving us an opportunity that we're not paying attention to. So Jesus comes and does what the Father does. He then tells us we're going to do the same good works. And then we find out in Colossians from Paul that we're going to be given opportunities. And that it's up to us to be gracious and attractive so that those who are not believers will be able to be touched by the good works that we are called to do. I don't have this scripture on the screen. This happened in my backyard on the deck. So this is a freebie. If you have your Bible out or your devices and want to follow along, you can. But it's Matthew 9, 35 to 38. And it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." And we are praying, and we are going, and we are bringing, making the most of every opportunity. Rooster says when Max is going down that ravine, he says, "What are you doing down there? Don't panic." We are not ever alone. We might end up in situations that are uncomfortable and stretch us. They do stretch us, you guys. They stretch us. But we're not ever alone. And I'm sure that sometimes Jesus is like, "What are you doing down there? Don't panic. We're doing this together. Don't stop now. We're almost there." You know, we've been sojourning as a church. We've been moving and moving and moving over the last 4 years. I have loved this conference. Yeah, I've been pastoring here for 4 years. We have had 3 moves. And you know what that means? That means that every time we move, we get to start over as a church plant. And what that means is we are doing great for a church plant. That's what it means. But as we sojourn and we think about the Israelites having left Egypt, followed God, listened to Moses, and having spent 40 years then in the desert as sojourners, they didn't know whether they were in year 5 or year 39. We don't know where we are in the journey God is calling us on, but we know for certain that we are following in God's plan for us as a church. And so we commit ourselves to prayer, commit ourselves to taking action with Jesus Christ, and commit ourselves to following the opportunities he gives us. No matter how small, how overlooked, how scared, each of us has an inner hero, the Holy Spirit, waiting to be unleashed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and glory tonight because you are our God, and you walk with us, and you walk before us, and you know where we are all the time. Each one of the people you have created, you are fully aware of where they are right now. What's going on inside, what's going on outside. And God, we just want to pray as a church right now for those who are struggling, who don't know you, but who you're going to give us opportunity to have conversations with. And we pray right now that you will allow us to have our eyes open to follow you when you say, hey, we're going together to get them. And Lord, I also pray for this group of people here, this flock of believers. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you will bring comfort and your Holy Spirit and your guidance. Because I know, Lord God, there's things happening in many of our lives that some of us are feeling a bit like the lost sheep. Help us, Lord God, to embrace the opportunity to be a community and to really love, to really see the fruit that is being borne out in our lives and in our church. We want to thank you for the salvations, the four salvations that we've had in this church since we've been praying for that. The one recommitment, the two baptisms that are coming up for sure, and the more that may be coming. We want to thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity that we can send our kids to camp this summer and that we have two people who are going to go as volunteer counselors and work with kids. We thank you, Lord God, that you have used this body. Women's Conference this year, it was our church that supplied the band. God, it's mind-blowing. You allowed me to bring a message last week to annual conference, all the churches in Oregon. You're going to take me to Orlando, to General Conference. You've placed me and others on the National Prayer Ministry team. Lord God, you have a purpose for this body, and I thank you that we're in it together. Help us, Lord God, to continue to look to you as our shepherd and to say yes when you call. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.